Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that works at Tab and comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out. Speaking of concerns, this really kind of goes up into the concern area. If you haven't heard about this, I'm gonna play something for you that's going to blow your mind. And, you know, we had Siri. Actually, we've had computers talking to us for a long time. I mean, you've all heard the Stephen Hawking computer that talks for him when he was with us, and how it sounded so
well. One of the early ones, way back before we even had Windows, Dr. Sbatzo. I don't know if you remember
Doctor
that
who?
Dr. Sbatzo.
Say that three times.
Yeah, you could talk to him, and he'd talk back.
So we've had computers talking to us for quite some time. Siri's talking to us, Alexa. You know, we actually had Alexa on the show as a guest.
Cortana,
right? So all these assistants out there. Well, the Googleplex has something for us even more amazing. It's called Google Duplex. You've got to take a listen to this.
As I said earlier, our vision for our assistant is to help you get things done. It turns out a big part of getting things done is making a phone call. You may want to get an oil change schedule, maybe call a plumber in the middle of the week, or even schedule a haircut appointment. You know, we are working hard to help users through those moments. We want to connect users to businesses in a good way. Businesses actually rely a lot on this, but even in the US, 60% of small businesses don't have an online booking system set up. We think AI can help with this problem. So let's go back to this example. Let's say you want to ask Google to make you a haircut appointment on Tuesday between 10 and noon. What happens is the Google Assistant makes the call seamlessly in the background for you. So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
That was a real call you just heard. The amazing thing is the assistant can actually understand the nuances of conversation. We've been working on this technology for many years. It's called Google Duplex. It brings together all our investments over the years in natural language understanding, deep learning, text-to-speech. By the way, when we are done, the assistant can give you a confirmation notification saying your appointment has been taken care of. Let me give you another example. Let's say you want to call a restaurant, but maybe it's a small restaurant which is not easily available to book online. the call actually goes a bit differently than expected. So take a listen.
See, how may I hear you?
Hi, I'd like to reserve a table for Wednesday the 7th.
For 7 people?
It's for 4 people.
4 people, when?
Next Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Oh, actually we reserve for like upper 5 people. For 4 people you can come.
How long is the wait usually to be seated?
When, tomorrow or weekday or?
For next Wednesday, the 7th.
Oh, no, it's not too busy. You can count for 4 people, okay?
Oh, I gotcha. Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
So that is the future, Google Duplex. And if it doesn't frighten you, I don't know what it should do, but it's amazing. It's awesome, right? And then you're going to ask yourself, really, would you use this to make your appointments? I think Google's a little silly when it comes to saying it's saving our planet with making appointments for us. I can see a better use for this tool, and it's really in the reverse. So you want to stop robocalls. Wouldn't it be great to sic Google Duplex on your robocaller? If you could get a call that you didn't want to take, and it was a robocall, wouldn't it be awesome to just... Hang on 1 second. I'll let you talk to my assistant. Bing, and have him talk to Google Duplex. That I can see as a powerful use for Google Duplex. But it is amazing that the technology is out there where it even adds the ums, the ahs, the inflections. It understands what you're saying. It's here. The future is really coming. I don't think I'd ever use this technology in my life. It's not some sort of massive amount of time I spend making appointments. Out on you, Bob.
Well, I think it'll save a lot of carbon.
In what way?
Well, people wouldn't waste their time talking and breathing.
Yeah, right.
So exhaling CO2.
The computer's doing it for you. It's going to be, I think on the other side, if you can have it, answer phones for you, that would be an interesting thing. It's here. The future is here. And we figured if you hadn't heard about it, we'll put some links up here so you can watch the video for yourself. And maybe you can think of other ways we could use Google Duplex to help us. Making an appointment really doesn't seem like some earth-shattering thing that they've probably spent $1 billion on figuring out how to do. But it is cool that they did it.
So when I get a call, I'm going to ask, are you a robot?
Ah, good point. So what they say now, this is only recent. It just came out a few days ago, this information. And now Google is saying it's going to identify itself as a robot when it makes these calls. So it's going to actually... tell the person on the other end, this is Google, whatever. It's going to identify and say, hey, I'm not human.
So
you can hang up on it. So it can be like the droids walking into the thing. We don't serve your kind. I don't take appointments from a robot. Right? I mean, who knows, right? So if they're going to identify themselves, people are not going to want to talk to a robot.
Well, they're heading off the legislators in all these different countries by,
right.
Coming up with legislation after the fact. Oh, you got to identify this. You're not talking to a real person.
Right. Well, I kind of like that there should be some sort of understanding that you're not talking. I mean, both those examples sounded real.
Yeah, but just think, they'll have a receptionist now that'll be artificial intelligence. And what about that job that person
lost? Well, that's true. And the other thing, though, that the guy's actually saying, well, many places don't have automated appointment schedules. So this is when internet came out, when Al Gore invented it, one of the big things was to do automation, like setting up appointments and using apps. So it's almost like Google's admitting that, he said 60% or something like that don't use automated scheduling. He's kind of admitting of the failure of IT and technology if you have not been able to set up some sort of automated process to make appointments. But again, for a hair salon to invest in all that is kind of silly. So this AI could be beneficial if you really think you can't spend a second having it make the call for you.
Well, I think most small businesses are able to purchase an app that they can use to do their scheduling. Now, then they still have to have somebody that mans the telephones and answers the phone.
Maybe and not, no.
Even with the AI, okay? So with AI, if I get this, and I don't know what the cost is going to be.
Yeah.
But let's say I want this assistant to make a phone call and schedule an appointment for me, for my car, for my hair, or whatever.
Right.
Okay. So that's fine for me, but I mean, how many appointments do I make in a month?
Exactly.
Probably not that many.
And just imagine how you'd have to configure the schedule to
this
make the call.
Would be more, it would be better, you know, I think, more productive if they had it the opposite way, where it answered and was able to
navigate
put that
it
together and then create those appointments and put them
I'm sure that's going to be coming, because you can do that even with phone systems. You can automate that process just on the menu selections. But even if you had to program that call, right? So that you had to tell your assistant, okay, Google Assistant, make sure you set me a haircut for between these times. So you're spending all that time telling your assistant what to do. That seems redundant.
You could have made the phone call.
That's my point. if efficiencies are where you're going, if you've got to spend time telling the assistant, what, maybe you have to update an app where you say, please schedule an appointment for this day, for this time, just do it, right? I mean, are you really saving time? I don't know. If they can automate the process where it's really easy, I guess. But how many times do you have to look at Facebook and know that your phone is also making an appointment for you? I mean, do we really not have that much time? I don't know. I think the assistants union is going to be really upset.
Well, you know, I'm spending too much time on Facebook. I don't have time to make that appointment myself.
I guess not, Bob. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Feel free to get online. Four lines open for you on this gloomy Saturday morning. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. What do you think you could do with Google Duplex? Do you think you would ever use it? Are you excited about it? Does it frighten you? Feel free to get online and let us know. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. You're speaking to humans here. We will answer your questions. We're going to process it in our real-time, brains.
Or not.
What's left of them. You're not talking to the Googleplex here. Let's get to your calls, though. A couple lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Billy in Litchfield. Hey, Billy, what do you think?
Did you guys read that book by Dan Brown, his newest book, Origin?
No, but I am a Dan Brown fan.
Okay, listen, I'm going to spoil the whole book for you in 2 seconds.
Okay.
This rich guy develops this computer, and it's AI, and it's his assistant. It's exactly this thing.
Yeah.
But it also learns as it goes. So this guy is going to do this big presentation, and he puts his assistant computer in charge of making it the biggest splash worldwide that he can.
Mm-hmm.
And the AI computer figures out that if he is assassinated during the event, it'll create this huge internet thing where he's going to get so many more hits on it. So the AI hires an assassin to come in and assassinate him. And it's just so funny that AI just takes over, and total unintended consequences.
Oh, yeah, man. We've heard of Skynet, right?
I'm totally against this whole AI thing. It's nuts.
I hear you. And so Elon Musk is afraid of it as he builds his electric cars, and he's involved in SpaceX, but he's afraid of AI too. I mean, I think we should be concerned.
Well, that two driverless cars, one got in an accident that killed somebody in California or Arizona. So, I mean, this stuff, it's not going to play out the way they think it is.
Well, of course it's not going to play the way they think it is. Come on. Of course, it never does. I mean, that's the default, man. I go by that default. It's never going to play out the way they think it is.
Exactly. Listen, I know so little about this stuff, but I enjoy listening to you guys because I learn a tiny fraction every day.
Well, we appreciate you listening, Billy.
I have a hard time logging onto my computer, but I don't know what a millibyte is or a terabyte, but it's an interesting show.
Well, thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. So, it's never going to play out the way they think it's going to play out.
Well, I liken these self-driving cars to the helicopters in Iran under Saddam Hussein.
Mm.
If you think back in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. they had a lot of helicopter crashes.
Did they?
They did.
Okay.
And what would happen was they would always be carrying some, like, government official. They would just mysteriously crash in the desert.
Okay.
Okay.
So where are you going with this, Bob? It's a little bit of a tangent.
Well, you know, if I were like a politician, the last thing I would get into is a self-driving car, because you and I know somebody's going to be able to hack into that thing, yeah. And maybe it'll drive into a bridge above it. Or off a bridge into a lake or something.
A politician driving off a bridge, probably not the worst thing in the world. Let's go let's go to Danny in Glastonbury. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys. Of all the names they could have picked to make the appointment, they come up with Lisa. I wonder if that was a subtle dig at Steve Jobs and Apple.
I don't know. I wouldn't read that much into that.
No.
But what do you think? What do you think of Google Duplex? Are you afraid?
I think it's awful.
You do?
I mean, I'm terrified. It's awful.
Yeah.
They ought to put these people all in jail. pull the plug, wipe the disk,
burn
the machines.
We've already jumped the shark, man. We're way past that.
I know. It's my old reference to that movie Colossus, the Forbin Project.
I don't know that one either.
Oh, that's the one where the computer, they build a computer to prevent nuclear war.
Oh.
And it takes over the United States, and they put it online, and then it says there is another. And they find out that the Russians were building a master computer also.
Gotcha.
And then they wind up taking over the world, and, you know, they kill everybody, and
that's
they
the
put
works.
The guy under custody.
We're the virus. Isn't that always the...
We're the virus. That's it. Okay, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Danny. And you got the Whopper, of course. Remember War Games when that first came out?
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to play a game of chess? I mean, that was the old AI, and that came out when I was a kid. You know, everyone was afraid of artificial intelligence way back then.
Some of the things that they did in those movies were so far out. Like in real time, somebody's at a keyboard seeing somebody hack in. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah,
but you know, it's not like they do it in the movies.
It's artificial intelligence, though. It's getting pretty cool. Let's go to Paul in Bristol. Hey, Paul, what's up? What do you think?
I'm not crazy about AI. Mm-hmm. I don't see any way we're going to stop it, though.
Yeah.
But maybe it's my call. You know, people talk about the two crashes involving self-driving cars.
Yeah.
And that's the case of not knowing the whole story and just repeating it because.
Okay.
In the first case with the fatality.
Yeah.
It was investigated by the police, quite obviously.
Yeah.
And the person that was killed was at fault. They literally stepped off the curb, you know, and somebody said if it was a human driving, they would not have had time to react.
Sure, that could be true.
And the fact that this person didn't get caught in the sensors,
yeah,
might have been a mitigating factor, but it was indeed the human error that stepped off the curb. And the second one with the minivan, that was an accident where the minivan got T-boned by somebody running a red light or a stop sign.
Yeah, well, again, there's self-driving cars. There's another example, the early on one, where the guy drove into a tractor trailer that the car did not detect as a tractor trailer. And that's a fault of artificial intelligence.
Teslas, I recall.
Correct. There's going to be problems where the technology is going to make mistakes. We're just saying AI in general. It's got a long way to go. But this virtual assistant here is pretty amazing. I still wouldn't want my car to drive itself.
Like you guys pointed out, Lisa, Alexa, whatever your name is, call up the, make an appointment for me.
Right. If you're already doing that, just make the call.
Yeah, exactly. Leave a voicemail.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. If Lisa gets an answering machine, does it leave a message?
I bet you it would. I mean, why wouldn't it? If the salon answers, it could probably say, I'd like to make an appointment for Lisa at 10 o'clock on
Wednesday.
I'd
like to hear what Lisa or... Is it Lisa?
No, the name is Duplex. It doesn't have a name yet.
I'd like to hear what Duplex does when it goes into voicemail Hades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you want this
department, press whatever.
It wouldn't work. I mean, if it does work, we should be very afraid.
I have to press the buttons.
Yeah. Well, it just sends the tones, man. It's all tones. You don't need to actually press a button. It says the tone. So,
all right, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I mean, this whole self-driving car thing, people, you know, there's definitely two sides to that story. There's too many people. There's a guy in England who was driving a Tesla, right? And he had his self-driving system going, and he got in the passenger side of the car and let the car drive itself. Now, again, the self-driving technology a Tesla has is now in my minivan. It's the same thing. It's cool, but you're supposed to put your hands on the wheel.
It's not intended to drive the car.
Correct.
It's intended to
assist you. Exactly.
So if you get distracted.
So this guy has been banned from driving on British highways. I mean, it might be hard to enforce, but they banned him. Because, of course, he's an idiot who sits in the
you
passenger side.
Stupid.
No. No. Some people's toys just shouldn't go to them. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Three lines open. We're talking about Google Duplex and artificial intelligence. And, of course, taking your computer comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And for now, we are still human. Google Duplex has not taken over our positions yet. But it could be coming. Who knows? Feel free to get online and let us know what you think of Google Duplex. We played you some of the... Again, it's a huge step to actually have the conversation that was had by the robot, the Googleplex, and just regular everyday folks being able to converse, and the everyday folks didn't even know they were talking to a machine at all. We've come a long way. Maybe to our own doom. We'll see. What could go wrong? I don't know. Everything's going to be just fine. So feel free to get online. Also, John was talking about a food drive, and I wanted to bring up something quickly before I go on to your calls. I was lucky enough on Thursday to be a part of the Travelers Corral performance at the Bushnell. Yes, I got to play the Bushnell, which was pretty cool. And the Travelers Corral was founded back in 1924, and they had their 93rd consecutive concert at the Bushnell, which is great since it's opened in 1930. And they raised nearly two tons, if I heard correctly, worth of food for that performance. So we were really proud of it, and it's awesome to be able to play the Bushnell. And we played with Bristol Brass and Wind. I'm a member of that organization, which is an amazing community band. If you've ever wanted to pick up your horn or whatever you might play when you were younger or whatever age you are, check out your community bands. They really are amazing things. They're all over the place, and I really didn't know much about them until when I was later in life here. So I figured I'd let you guys know that they're out there, and they're amazingly welcoming, and they put up with hacks like me. You get better as you play. I've been there for about 5 years. And you dust off the old cobwebs, and you get to perform in places possibly like the Bushnell. I mean, who would have thunk it?
You know, I'm guessing there's probably a lot of people that played like high school band and stuff
college.
That would like to continue, you know, as a evening type thing.
It's great for your noggin, I'll tell you.
It gives you a little social activity also.
Oh, yes.
You know, instead of messing around on Facebook.
Right. Get out and actually interact with humans. So we're going to actually be performing again today at St. Paul High School this evening. If you want to come out and check out Bristol Brass and Wind and the Bristol Corral. I think the concert's around 7-ish, but I'm not positive exactly. There's a $15 charge for that if you want to come out and check us out in Bristol today. So let's get back to your calls, and we're going to go to Vinny in Thomaston, who's got a question. Hey, Vinny, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I just want to say I'm not a computer person.
Okay.
But here's my question. My wife has a HP Chromebook laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, everybody says you could hook this up to a printer and it could print. Well, for a year and a half, people have been trying, and we still can't make this thing print. Is this impossible? Is there special things you have to do or components you have to buy? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about it, but can you make a Chromebook print off of a all-in-one Kodak all-in-one printer?
Hmm. Well, you should be able to. You may have to download something, though, because a Chrome operating system is not a true operating system. It's really a browser.
Okay.
And you've been trying for how long? A year plus?
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm not a computer person, but people have come up, friends and relatives, and say, you need this, you need that, or you could do this and you could do that. But actually, nobody's ever got it to print yet. So,
gotcha. And obviously, those people
maybe,
weren't.
Maybe they're not such computer people either. I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe who you're talking to is not, they're not that computer literate. Okay. So, yes, you can do it. I'm trying to see.
I got a link.
You have a link to how to switch it on?
Yeah, it looks like there's an app, and it gives you step-by-step instructions.
So like I was saying, your operating system is not natively designed to do this, but there's an app you have to download to then support. Okay. Now, we're assuming you have an HP printer?
Yes.
All right. So What?
The print, the Kodak, same, is that all right?
Well, it's not quite the same thing.
No?
No, so you have a Kodak printer?
Yes, all-in-one printer.
Did Kodak, oh yeah, Kodak did make printers a little while. How long have you had that printer, Vinny?
For a while.
Yeah.
But these instructions talk about if it's a USB type printer. Mm-hmm. Of course, you'd need a printer driver.
For the browser, I don't know how that'll work. I think the app does make sense in that you need an interface to actually then set up how the print's going to come out. But Kodak may not even have a drive, an app or a driver for this printer that'll work in Chrome, Vinny. If it's old, like a decade old, I mean, Kodak making printers is kind of weird. Your part of your problem is it just may not be compatible at all.
So you think an HP printer would be more compatible, probably easier to do?
All of the above. It's got an app designed to make that interface work on a Chrome. Now, again, remember, when you buy a Chromebook, you're basically just buying a browser that's the whole operating system rather than a Windows operating system or an Apple operating system.
These instructions reference USB connection and wireless connection. So you may need to get a printer, I would think, a printer that's a wireless printer.
Maybe, yeah. How is your printer now connected, Vinny, to your computer?
I think it is a wireless.
Okay. So you have it wireless. Yeah. But it's a Kodak, and if Kodak doesn't have an app to work with Chrome, I don't know that we're going to make this work for you as easily as we would if it was an HP.
Right.
Do you have any other computers that use the Kodak in your house?
No.
This is your whole computer? This is it for you in computing? A Chromebook?
That's it.
Hmm.
She only uses, like, to do emails, look things up and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. When we're not, you know, like I said, we're not all do a million things with it, just normal 70-year-old people things. That's it.
This HP page references that you would typically want to purchase a printer that has the Google Cloud Print logo or the HP ePrint logo.
Right.
Google Cloud Print logo on it, HP?
Yeah, we've got a link to that, or we're going to be putting up a link to that on computertalkwithtab.com.
The other thing too, Vinny, if you actually happen to have a Windows or Mac-based PC in the environment, it would be easier to print.
All right.
But you don't have anything else to use, so that's part of your snag. So if you have Chromebooks and Windows and Mac environments, you could allow printing more easily through your Chromebook, but it would actually utilize and leverage those machines to do it. So you don't have any other options. So I think you're kind of out of luck with that Kodak, if I'm guessing.
All right. I appreciate your help, guys.
You're welcome, Vinny.
All right, take care. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, because that technology, the Kodak probably doesn't even know what Chromebook is. I mean, Kodak printers. I don't think I've heard of those for such a long time.
Yeah, they got in and got out, I think.
Yeah. Let's go on to Bob in Groton next. Hey, Bob.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm trying to download an upgrade for a piece of marine equipment.
Okay.
So I've gone to the site, I've downloaded the file, and I have to unzip it.
Yes.
I have Windows 7 Pro. And I guess I don't have WinZip. I've got a little thing saying, do I want to buy WinZip? Isn't there anything native that I can use, or this thing to unzip that program?
You don't need WinZip to unzip a zip file.
In Windows 7.
In Windows 7. Okay, it's built in. All you got to do is right-click on it and say Extract. And then you can extract to here or extract to there.
Yeah, it's kind of a misnomer, right, Bob? You're thinking I should unzip,
yeah.
Right? Wouldn't that be great if they said unzip? But no, they say extract. Of course they say extract.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Of course not. That's computers, man. Extract. Of course. What are you thinking?
All right. You solved my problem.
All right, Bob. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Welcome to our world. Zip it up.
Extract
it. Don't unzip it. Extract it. It reminds me of the Gallagher who always did the thing on spelling. Same kind of thing. Extract, zip. We're going to go back to your calls after the break here. Feel free to get online. Also, do you have an opinion on the Google Duplex and what they're offering for artificial intelligence? Are you afraid? Are you excited? Is it great? Feel free to call in if you have an opinion on that. Love to hear your thoughts on it, because we're going in this direction rapidly, really, really fast. And, of course, everything's going to be just fine. We'll be right back.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
Ah, yes. That was the 1970s, right? I mean, 1968. I wasn't even on the planet, and they were afraid of this. there's a robot that sounds eerily like Google Duplex. Oh, man. Artificial intelligence. Here we go. Let's go back to your calls. Tom in Harmington. Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, from time to time, you have a company come in that talks about TV, media, in-home type stuff. I think they're located in Avon.
Yes, Perfect Vision and Sound.
Perfect Vision. Okay, good. Because I want to buy a couple of TVs, and I could probably save money going to Walmart or Target, but I want some service. I'm not looking for anything super high-tech, just
right.
Something that'll fit my needs.
Exactly. We always recommend local. That's the way to go. They're good guys over
perfect.
There.
Perfect Vision and Sound.
Exactly.
They'll make it work the way you want it.
Yep.
Oh, great. Thanks a real lot.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's always good. We always recommend those guys. They do a good job. No TVs that I've ever bought from them have ever fallen off my wall, and that's my standard. Because if I put it up on the wall, it would fall off the wall. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have four lines open for you. You guys, I want to talk really quickly while we're waiting for your calls. You may not be paying attention, which most people unfortunately aren't, but I think WTIC listeners pay attention more than most. But the folks in Hartford did some more stuff with solar, and you might not be happy with it if you're a solar installer or somebody who is planning on putting solar on your roof. The thing about working with the government is, government, as I've always said to my friends and neighbors, government giveth and government taketh away. And you've been incentivized, if you're a solar user who has roof panels, to put your solar panel up on your house, and that's fine. And then you get the retail rate, generation rate, paid back to you, called net metering, for any juice you put back on the network. Well, turns out the folks in Hartford are going to take that away from you, and which again, I think that is ridiculous to pay you the retail rate. Anyways, you should be paid back the wholesale rate, not the retail rate. That's what I guess they agree with. My point being is, how can you, in your right mind, plan anything for 20 years, knowing you're working with the government, right? So a lot of these solar paybacks take a little longer than you'd expect, and now it's going to take even longer to get paid back if they change the rate from the retail rate down to maybe a wholesale rate or something less. So again, it's a technology show, but solar is definitely technology. But if it can't compete on its own and it's been subsidized and now they're pulling some rugs out from underneath you, you got to ask yourself, why are you getting in bed with these guys?
Well, California
mandated
is coming out with new laws mandating that all new construction
has to have a solar panel.
Has to have solar panels.
Yep.
You must buy this.
It's crazy. It's crazy. If you want to put a solar panel on your roof, go ahead. I like the solar shingle idea. Elon Musk has got an idea for solar shingles. It makes perfect sense for me, if I have to put a roof up, to put a solar shingled roof up rather than a panel on top of my roof, because I'm not going to have to deal with replacing the shingles under the panel when they get over time.
You don't have freedom to choose how you're going to spend your money.
What could go wrong is if California forces you, Bob, to put a panel on your roof.
Yeah, but you see, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you're in an area in California that's like in the southern where the desert is and the sun always shines and it never rains in Southern California.
It can make sense.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay? You might benefit. Right. Okay? Actually, you're going to probably produce more electricity than you use.
Right.
Okay? Which somebody's going to make money on.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
But if you live up in the more mountainous areas...
Yeah.
And you might be on
our foggy San Francisco,
the side where you're covered with trees and you don't get the sun.
That's okay. You got to put it on.
You put a solar panel on and you can never get any electricity out of it.
Well, look at Germany. I mean, Germany is solar. It puts so much solar out that their people are paying through the nose for electricity because they actually connected it to the cost of subsidizing the solar system. So they pay the highest electricity rates on the planet and they're super solarized, but they're not even in a very good climate to use solar. On top of that.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah. Well, the point I'm trying to make is they're changing the rules on you guys. So now you got to calculate differently. I don't know what the new actual calculation will be. That's going to be set by PURA rather than what it has been now with retail net metering. But you can't plan on anything more than – you can't plan on – in this state, you can't plan anything more than 3 years. And to think you're making a 20-year solar calculation is nutty as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the government. Because they're going to – They're going to tax you retroactively, even if you planned on it before.
The government is made up of politicians that are elected by people, and people are electing the politicians that are putting these policies in place.
It's crazy. And they're going to also make us buy increase the amount of renewables that we purchase. And renewables, it sounds great, right, to buy renewables. I agree with that, right? If you can buy renewable energy, that's great. The problem is our infrastructure to get renewables. So, like, if you wanted to buy wind from Maine, we don't have the lines to carry the energy down. From Maine. So Maine has got all these projects they want to spin up to do all these renewables, but we can't get the power to us.
They can put the lines at, not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. Exactly. So they're going to force us to buy all this renewable, which is great, but how are we going to get it to us if you can't get the lines here? I mean, I think it was also another issue with hydro. They didn't want to get the hydro power because they don't – I don't know. It's a big mess as far as these guys getting involved, and it's only going to cost us more and more. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock.
We can afford it. Ask any politician. They'll tell you.
We can afford it.
Yeah, tolls. We can afford it.
Feel free to get online. This is Computer Talk. Try to get off that. But it is solar. It's kind of technology, so I wanted to bring it up. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Four lines open for you guys. Usually the 10 o'clock hour is a lot more busy. So if you ever had a reason to get on with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, feel free to get online. Speaking of concerns, Google Duplex. Are you afraid? We'll play that again so you can hear it in the 10 o'clock hour of what Google is doing with artificial intelligence, where you could be talking to a robot and you didn't even know it. Although they say they're going to make it so you do know it.
So they say.
And so they say. And there's also another issue with recording, right? If you're on with a robot, they're recording your call. Is that legal? Probably isn't legal. Do you care?
Well, it probably depends on what state you live in.
Well, I think in Connecticut, one side has to know the recording is happening, I think. I'm not an expert at this.
One side?
I think the one
side. So if I know I'm recording you and you don't know I'm recording, but am I illegal?
I don't know. It's a big mess. We'll see what happens. Everything we talked about, though, is posted in Facebook, so feel free to get online and give us a ring. We'll be here till 11 o'clock. And Mike G's feverishly posting everything we've talked about so far. And he's still a real human. Bob is... Matt, you're still... You think... Well, actually, we could replace Matt, I think, with Google Duplex, right, Matt? Yeah, right. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.